Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Jefferson is the Jefferson Airplane White Rabbit. It's about pills. One pill makes you larger, one pill makes you small. I mean, that applies to those in the media. They take the small pills. Everyone in the media takes the Lilliputian pill. Every morning when they wake up, if they start to resemble a human being, they have to take a Lilliputian pill. And that applies to the river dancer herself, who is actually a mini-me of an actual journalist. She's a mini-me of what she was 3 years ago, but hey, fame does that to people. Eventually, everyone flames out, including myself. She has not yet understood that she's only human, and that the river dancer on Fox News right now has done more damage to the conservative movement, if you want to call it that, certainly the Republican chances to take the country back from the Democrat, socialist, Islamist machine, than anyone in the country, because she pits them against each other. Last night, the river dancer pit everyone against Ted Cruz. Then Meatloaf Jr., that's Mike Walachensky. Meatloaf Jr., that snide face of his. Haven't you met kids like that when you were young? Always a smirk on their face. That's Walachensky Jr., Meatloaf Jr. I call him Meatloaf Jr. because his dear old dad, Mike Wallace, the guy had dignity. I don't even know what his politics were. I'm sure he was a Democrat like all of them. But how could you not like a man who beat up a parking meter aide and threw meatloaf at him? How could you not like a newsman who threw a takeout dish of meatloaf at a meatloaf guy giving his driver a ticket when he ran in for meatloaf? On a takeout. How could you not, you know? And as I say, the meatloaf doesn't fall far from the wagon. But it's Friday. I'm sure you're all exhausted. Exhausted, brain dead from this. I myself, did I watch the debates? No. Actually, no. I went to a Chinese restaurant to have a drink and some happy hour food. It was raining, you see. Teddy was sick. He was with a dog care. Irene and I got so lonely for Teddy, I said, I'm coming to get him in the rain. And I knew that if someone's healing when they're sick, they want to be in their own house. I know it from my parents when they were sick. People want to be healing in their own house or, you know, pass away in their own house. Anyway, I got him home, and I'm giving him his meds. I'm giving him some pills make you smaller, some pills make you bigger. He's getting 4 a day of the stuff shot in his mouth. I don't know whether to make him smaller or bigger, but he is whacked out and stoned on the sofa right now. I have a junkie dog from the veterinarian. But look, he's in pain. The sutures are in the lower jaw. So, a couple of things to talk about. Please note that no Trump ads run in the Michael Savage Show. Please make careful note of that. No Trump ads run in the Michael Savage Show. That's important for you to know. Number two, the ratings. When I came home, all I asked those who I emailed was, how were the ratings on Fox during the Republican wrestling match without Donald Trump? That's all I wanted to know, because if the ratings were even close, then Trump would have gambled and lost. That's right. It's as simple as that. It's a numbers game. He played a stare down with Rupert Murdoch, and he says he got an apology. I'm sure he did. They probably told the river dancer to not kick him in the groin again. And he didn't do it anyway. So the thing is, what were the ratings? About half of what they were at the peak without him. That's, you know, you could read gibberish on this, but I'm an expert in statistics. Having studied epidemiology for many years, I had to learn how to read data. The data's simple. Last night's debate on Fox News Channel averaged 12 million viewers. That's a nice number. But the first debate on FNC, they had 24 million, 23 million, or something like that, right? So it's about 50%, sorry. I'm a little distracted from the medication I gave the dog. Maybe some of it slipped into my pores. I don't really know. So Trump did what he had to do. I mean, the headline is Trump trumped Fox. If I were to write the headline, it would be Trump trumped Fox, right? And that's it. Or Trump trumped Murdoch. The two moguls, I mean, they're big guys, and they were fighting. And he beat him. So, okay, let's put all that aside, the ego stuff and the this and the that, 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 the do. Yesterday's show was, I would say, the peak of all my peaks, because my monologue, Blood in the Water, Purists versus Pragmatists, no one has beat it yet in the entire campaign. I mean, I will say that because who else is going to say it? You? You're going to blow my horn for me? I read the blogs, I read the articles. Most of them are pretty standard. Some of them are excellent, but lately there's been nothing. My article of Blood in the Water, Purists versus Pragmatists, is on michaelsavage.com and nowhere else. You can find it, the third story on the right. Blood in the Water, Purists versus Pragmatists. I would invite you to read it, and I would invite you to share it with friends, because I think it says it all. And all I'm going to do is read you the last paragraph, which is a total of three sentences. And here it is. So I leave you with this thought. Pragmatists versus purists. There is room for both. However, only one can win. Think about what I just said. Pragmatists versus purists. There's room for both strains of philosophy, but only one can win. I'm Michael Savage. That's it. Cut to the chase. Next case. You know, walk along. That's all. Keep going. At 12:30 Pacific, which is in 20 minutes, 3:30 Eastern, which is in 20 minutes, Rick Santorum has been invited to join the show for one reason. He certainly can't win the presidency, but this is a stand-up guy, as they used to say in New York. Here's a guy who went on the stage with Donald Trump at the Warriors thing, the alternate Warriors event. Unlike Huckabee, who I was really, I didn't know what to make of Huckabee. Now I know is don't trust him. Because although Huckabee went on the stage along with Santorum, with Donald, the next day, morning today, Huckabee goes on CNN, stabs Trump in the back, basically. So Huckabee is a media. Remember, Huckabee comes from the media, nowhere else. And so what would you expect? Another one, that's all. Another one with the guitar and with Jesus in the Bible. He's still a backstabber. With the Bible, with the guitar, with the R. Shucks, with the Roy Rogers. He's still a slick con artist. End of story. Huckabee, forget about it. Santorum, good. Huckabee, bad. I'll make it Animal Farm-esque for the audience. Most people don't know what I'm talking about. They hear a guy with like a gravelly voice. What is he talking about? I don't even know who these guys are. I'm scanning a dial. Something about him. Lucky Bean. Applebee's. Is there a special at Applebee's for like a roast beef? Can I get a free pizza at Pizza? They don't know what I'm talking about. The average person doesn't even know what's going on. They have no idea about the debates, nor what they mean. All they know is that Donald Trump is good and everyone else is bad. They know that Hillary is a criminal and a liar and that she's probably going to go to jail. I think even the average jerk knows that by now. Even the liberals are turning on her. And what came out today? Did you see the headline? Some Clinton emails too damaging to release. I mean, she's going down. This one's going down, and I'll make a prediction right now. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I'm one man. I'm talking to you like you're in the living room with me. And here it is. If she goes down, believe me, the billionaires and trillionaires who run the Democrat Party, don't think it's run by Karl Marx and his minions. The billionaires and trillionaires who live off the gravy train, the unions, the fraudsters in the health industry, to name a few, they're not going to let Bernie Sanders anywhere near the prize. Are you joking? So who are they going to run? What I said 2 weeks ago, you don't have to be a genius. They're going to run old Joe Biden. It's going to be a very tough campaign for Donald Trump if Biden runs. Why? Because Biden is a certifiable moron, a total moron, who is nothing and has always been nothing but a front man for the Democrat machine. But he is I'm telling you like it is now, don't take umbrage at what I'm about to say. I try to speak truthfully as best I can. If you're going to have two approximately equal in height white men with white teeth running, and one is like a nice, you know, oh, we know him. Oh, yeah, that's that guy. He was with Obama. Oh, what the heck? You're going to get an awful lot of independents going over to Joe Biden because they confuse him. They confuse him for, you know, with someone he isn't. Let's put it to you that way. He is a stooge of the far left. But it's going to give Trump a lot of trouble. I pray to God it would be Trump versus the commie or against the criminal. If it was the builder versus the criminal or the commie, the builder wins. If it's the builder versus the Bilderberg, forget about it. If it's the builder versus the Bilderberg, that's it. Forget about it. It's tough. That was a nice one for you. That was an ace in the hole on the Savage Nation. Now I'm in the mood, since I gave you a good spritz on an opener on a Friday with the rain, with the dog, with the drugs, with the Tramacol and Manacol, Hanacol, Tanacol, four medicines and new food. He likes baby food. Dog likes baby food. I haven't opened up a jar of baby food in four years. I had to go get him baby food. It's the only thing he likes. It's so cute. I get on my knees and I cry. You ever open the baby food bottles? It has a certain pop when the seal, you know, and you dip, you put the spoon back and forth, that sound. It's like remembrances of things past without the Petite Madeleines. For those of you who actually read a book many thousands of years ago, remembrances of things past. It was about when someone smelled a certain cake being made. It brought him back to his childhood. It's a very famous literary metaphor. So for me, I didn't want to watch the debates. What was I going to see? What was I going to see? So I opened baby food and spooned it to my dog after having a couple of snacks over at a Chinese joint. And that was it. It was nice. It was good. It's raining. It's pouring. The old man isn't snoring. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I like the best line thus far. Robert smiled. I got a smile out of the millennial who runs my board. That's the beauty of having a Skype set up in my home, is I get to see him. They used to be able to hide before Skype. They could blow their nose. They could wipe their eyes. They could eat pizza. Everything they do now, I see. Old Mike watches them, and they watch me too. Except when I put a paper over the camera on the screen, when I want total privacy. I am enjoying radio. You know, whenever you hear someone saying I'm having a great time, usually they're not. But if you hear me having a good time, you kind of know it by now. I want to have some rock and roll because it's open mic to Mike Friday. It's 855-400-7282. Boy, do we have news for you. I'm just warming you up. It's not just that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Zika virus. This is a scary one for those of you who are sex maniacs. Two cases hint at possible sexual transmission of Zika. Now, the CDC says, don't worry about it. We got it under control. The World Health Organization says it's going to spread. There'll be 4 million cases before we know it. And now we're hearing that there's a Zika virus in semen. I'm sorry, you know, out of the word. It's not a dirty word. Don't get scared. You're an adult. On Monday, the New York Times reported that the only known case of the Zika virus... Well, anyway, you get the picture. I'm going to tell you all about that later on the Savage Nation. And, of course, yes, I will lead you to my little tiny ebook on stimulating your immune system against all viruses, because fundamentally one virus is different than another in structure, but viruses tend to do similar things to us in some ways and dissimilar things in other ways. That is true as well. However, the best defense against any viral illness is a very strong immune system, in plain English. And that means whether it's a common cold, you use common sense, and you fortify your immune system, as I have done for 45 to 50 years, using mega doses, not just the vitamin C. Linus Pauling was a great genius, but especially vitamin A and other nutrients that you don't really pay much attention to because they've not been popularized. It's all in that little $2.99 book. Believe me, this is not a big money maker. This was done in order to save humanity from the lies of the government. And I think it's on Amazon. It's not even available. I think you can pre-order it. But I'm doing it to spread the word because there are things you can do. You can take power over your own body and not wait for the NIH to tell you not to do anything. So we got a lot to cover this week. Let's see. Today is the 29th of January, as you know. And thank God the primaries are over on Monday. Oh, my God. I can't wait till Tuesday so I can get back to normal programming and I can talk about epidemiology, nutrition, health, supplements, all of the things that sane people care about. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Now, the one singing is Grace Slick. And who can ever forget that song? Everyone remembers that song. Paul Kantner died at 74 last night. He hung around a cafe in North Beach. He was a chain smoker, incidentally. You see, when someone dies, everyone says, well, what did he do? Well, everyone dies. But he died at 74. He had a heart attack before. He was a chain smoker. That has something to do with health, whether you know it or not. So you look at the Wikipedia entry. Listen to this. Listen to the entry, Jefferson Airplane Rock Band. Jefferson Airplane was an American rock band formed in San Francisco, California, 1965. A pioneer of counterculture-era psychedelic rock, the group was the first band from the San Francisco scene to achieve international mainstream success. Wikipedia. That's true. And Michael Savage is the first media figure in the San Francisco scene to have achieved international mainstream successes, one after the other. Bestsellers, Band in Britain, you name it. You don't see that on Wikipedia, do you? Never be fooled by the media. Never. Wikipedia is a fraudulent site. Trolls have gone on Wikipedia and changed my entries over and over again to make up lies about me. The people who are jealous, many of whom I know who they are. They make believe I know who they are. They're the people who achieve nothing in their life. So I don't want to talk about that. That's all. I'm just saying, I've achieved international mainstream success. You're not going to read it on Wikipedia. Why am I telling you that? I'll talk about anything. I feel like filibustering the debate. I feel like talking about even making model airplanes than talking about Huckabee or Trump. I can't do it. It's enough already. Can we please have the election already? Can it be over? It's like pain. One of three escaped. Oh, here's a little breaking news. Robert, give me a breaking news thing. Look at this. Look at this. I can't help it. They'll listen. It's a conditioned response. One of three escaped California inmates back in custody, sheriff's office says. And by the way, guess who helped the Hannibals escape prison? A liberal school teacher in the jail. One of those old maids who can't get a boyfriend. They fall in love with the jailbirds. And the jailbirds are smart, these psychopathic murderers. They know how to seduce these old maids in jail. They make them think that they love them. You hear this? And she slips them a saw. It's right out of a bad movie. Please don't make a movie about this, Harvey. I beg you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Paul Campbell. I don't know how many of you like him. You got to understand. He was a cultural icon. And I'm a nice guy. I don't care what his politics were. Drug, sex, and rock and roll ruined the world, but what should I do? Hold it against him? He's dead. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation is a guy, is a stand-up guy, Rick Santorum. This guy's the real McCoy. He appeared with Donald Trump last night at the alternative event. And unlike Huckabee, who then the next morning goes on CNN, stabs Trump in the back, basically, by saying, I should have been on the stage instead of him. Rick didn't do that. I mean, this guy is the good material, in my opinion. Rick, I'm sorry. I hope you didn't hear any of that. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's the first time I've ever been introduced with bumper music. White Rabbit is a bumper music.
I'm sorry. It's so antithetical to your message. I know. Sorry.
No, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it just shows you that I'm a well-rounded guy. That's all.
But wait, what's interesting is that here's the news. You ready for the news flash? Rick Santorum knew the title of a psychedelic drug song called White Rabbit. How's that possible?
How about that, huh? Yeah, well,
I was shocked. I can guarantee you if I had Mitt Romney on, he wouldn't have known the title of that, what that song meant or where it was from.
Well, there you go. This meets the eye.
Well, anyway, Mr. Santorum, why did you decide to go to the Trump event last night? That was a beautiful thing you did.
Yeah. Hello, Michael. Yeah, we lost
Rick. Did we lose each other already? I can't believe this. I just love this. This is so great for a national show. Nothing's better. Is it a cell phone? Tell me, is it a cell phone? Yes or no? All right, tell Mr. Santorum to please call back. We were having fun. Why should I expect anything different? It's Friday. What happens Monday happens Tuesday, happens Wednesday, happens Thursday, happens Friday. I lose a call, they're not there, they can't hear me, I can't hear them. They tell me it's the equipment, then I say fix the equipment. They get the engineer in who fixes the equipment, the next day it happens again. And they said it isn't the equipment, it's this, it's that. I don't understand any of this, but that's radio. Some Clinton emails too damaging to release. Even the Obama administration has just confirmed that. U.S. declares 22 Clinton emails top secret. Now, either they're trying to gang up on her finally, or they'd want to get in front of the story before they're pulled out with her. Because if they don't disclose this inside the administration, they're liable to be pulled into jail if this happened. And they can read the handwriting on the wall. Even the State Department officials could wind up in the can over this. Mr. Santorum, are we back on the Savage Nation? Yes? Hello, how are you?
We're in rural Iowa, but we have pulled on the side. We've got a signal we can hold on to for a minute.
All right. That's nice of you. So tell us about the event last night. Tell us why you decided to go with Trump.
Look, I was invited to an event that was going to help our veterans. You know, Donald Trump said he was going to raise money for veterans. And I have a son in the Air Force. I've got two parents who worked at VA hospitals, each for 40 years. In particular, my dad, similar, a little different than you. My dad was a psychologist working with PTSD from Vietnam and beyond. And, I lived on a VA ground for 18 years. So veterans are, that's part of my DNA. And so if someone wants to stand up and help veterans, I'm going to stand up with them and help.
Mr. Santorum, we all know that Donald Trump is the front runner. It's likely that if he wins the nomination, which he will win, I think, he's going to head up against, I don't think it's going to be Hillary by what I see. Have you seen these latest, you've seen what's going on, the revelations that came out today? 22 Clinton emails are declared top secret by the Obama administration just moments ago.
I did not see that. Look, I mean, if this person was, if she was any other person in America, she would be in, she would be negotiating a plea bargain right now. I mean, this is, you're right. I think the more that comes out, the deeper she is in trouble. And obviously this revelation coming out just before the Iowa caucuses probably means Bernie Sanders is going to get a little shot in the arm, and he doesn't need much here to win.
That's an interesting statement. Bernie Sanders is an overt communist. He has been since childhood. Some would call him socialist. That's what he defined himself as. But I've studied his past. I know the type. I grew up in New York. These are old trade unionist types from the old days when it meant something different. He's against everything America stands for in terms of economics. He belongs in Castro's Cuba. I don't think he has a chance against Donald Trump. And Mr. Santorum, I guesstimated, I speculated earlier in the show, that if it comes down to Sanders, that the billionaires and trillionaires who run the Democrat Party are not going to let that happen. They're going to pick Joe Biden. What do you think of that theory?
Well, I don't know. The Democratic Party, as you know, is not a Democratic Party. It's a party that's run by special interests. And as you know, a big chunk of the voters in the Democratic Convention are super delegates. They have a big chunk of their votes that are not elected at these primaries. And so I suspect that all of these different groups will bond together, and if they see Bernie as the handwriting on the wall and they see that he's not electable, I have no doubt that they will play with the process and come up with a different result than Senator Sanders.
Or this party is so entrenched, Mr. Santorum, that we could see an indicted individual like Hillary Clinton getting the nomination anyway. It may not even stop them if that's the system. They could elect, they could nominate her even if she's in prison.
I think that's probably unlikely. There are one or two Democrats, not very many, that might be eligible to go up in a general election. But still, look, it shows you how weak their bench is. They don't have a whole lot to offer America, and 75-year-old socialist is their best opportunity to beat Hillary Clinton.
Well, I think he is the face of the Democrat Party today, frankly, a 75-year-old socialist. Mr. Santorum, how many children do you have? I remember you were on the show a couple of years ago. How many kids do you have?
We're raising seven kids. We've ages 24 to 7.
That's such a beautiful thing to hear in this age of ours. And as any parent knows, that's what it's all about. When you know, Donald Trump is also a father. That's important for people to know. And he's a very good father. He's also very good to his employees. I know that for a fact. Did you discuss anything with Mr. Trump as to if he wins what he might do in terms of appointing you somewhere? Was that ever discussed? Can you say that on this program?
No. Well, I can tell you categorically, no, it wasn't discussed. I mean, I make it a point not to discuss anything like that with anybody during the course of the campaign. And I've been very clear, Michael. I mean, as I just mentioned, I have seven kids, and Forbes just did a listing of all the candidates and their relative wealth in the camp and the listing. I think there were 18 candidates at the time, and I think I was 17th of 18th. And I've made it clear very publicly, not just because of Donald Trump or anybody else, but I've got kids going into college. I've got a special needs little girl who has a lot of medical expenditures, and I don't have a lot of resources. So I've got to go back to work after this thing is all over if it doesn't work out. My hope is that, you know, that we're going to win this nomination and win the presidency. But if it doesn't work out, I've got to get back to work and earn some money to take care of my family.
Well, what do you do outside of politics? What is your profession?
Well, you know, I'm a recovering lawyer, but I've sort of stayed away from practice. I've actually been involved in a variety of different things. I was involved in a firm that does big data analytics. I was very heavily involved with that before I decided to jump back into the presidential race. I actually was the CEO of a movie company that made faith-based films. I still even have my finger in the pot on that too. So I've got good. Lots of different things that I'm working on.
Well, Rick Santorum, I personally have great respect for you for what you did last night, and I wanted to say thank you, and you're always welcome to meet the audience of this program at any time. And again, good luck in all of your endeavors, and thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you, Michael. I do listen to you when I'm cruising around the car on occasion in Northern Virginia, and I want to thank you for your particularly your. As you know, I'm the strongest guy out there with a plan on the borders, and I couldn't agree with you more. The borders language culture is very, very important to this country, and so I appreciate the work that you're doing. And folks want to help us out, then go to ricksantorum.com. I'd appreciate your support.
ricksantorum.com. I'm glad you mentioned it. I will mention it again on the show. Good luck. Thank you very much. We wish you the greatest. Well, there it is, a real military family. I didn't even know that part of it. I know he had a lot of kids. And I know he's as good as gold. He's as straight as they come. And I thought you'd enjoy having him on the show just for that reason, especially since he went on the stage with Mr. Trump last night. And I think he told us the truth. He said, no, he didn't discuss. That's a news thing, by the way. I mean, that's a little news you got for listening to the Savage Nation, wherever you're listening, whether it be Washington or San Francisco or points in between. Look, you know, talk radio is an amazing medium. I have to talk about not just me, but all the shows that are on. Think about it. We're on 3 hours a day in most markets. For 3 hours a day, it's uninterrupted. And if there's news, I give it to you. Commentary, sure. Opinion, sure. That's what you're tuning in for. You can get the news. But the quickest news is on radio. And it's relentless, meaning our opinions are relentless. We have more influence in that regard than most essayists. Think about that. Let's say they write opinion pieces. They do one piece a week, syndicated. Some of them are brilliant. And they have wide distribution. Once a week, and you have to go look for it. Or two columns a week, you have to go look for it. It has to be printed somewhere, and you have to download it and read it. Radio is instant. It's still the most instantaneously received information, especially in a political jungle that we're living in. The importance is especially significant is what I'm trying to say to you. And that's why, I guess, you know, a week like this, I have to focus only on that. You know I love other things. And I want to talk about the Zika virus because I think that's almost more immediate because we're not getting the truth from the government. I played that for you yesterday. Anthony Fauci of the NIH gave us a political statement. He doesn't think, he suspects, it probably isn't. The most important thing is vector control, and we'll do that. It sounded like I was listening to a canned speech from the 1940s about malaria, that they're going to drain the swamps and put on mosquito repellent. There's a lot more at stake here, especially the story I told you earlier, that two cases hint at possible sexual transmission of Zika. And I got this from AFP, which is not a domestic source. And I'm going to read again, get into this. You should know about this. I mean, you know, sex, it doesn't mean it's illicit sex. It could be a man and a woman. The man gets it. In fact, I'll give it to you now. I'm going around it. You ready? The Zika virus was reported by the New York Times in semen involving a 44-year-old Tahitian man who was exposed during an outbreak of the Zika virus in French Polynesia in 2013, right? The virus was detected in his semen after it was no longer found in his blood. That's amazing. So a blood test wouldn't show it. So it was hiding in the semen. Still, it remains unclear how long the virus may have persisted after his initial infection. Here's another one. The newspaper also mentioned a second case of sexual transmission from 08 in which a U.S. biologist was infected with Zika while in Senegal collecting mosquitoes for a malaria study. The biologist developed a rash, fatigue, and headache a week after his return to the U.S. His wife also developed similar symptoms a few days after his return and after the two had sex. Now, listen to this part of it. Their blood was drawn, that's husband and wife, and both tested negative for malaria, dengue, and yellow fever. Well, time passes, and a scientific colleague suggests that their illness could have been Zika. The blood samples, which had been frozen, were then retested, and as suspected, came back positive for Zika. What does that suggest? That the wife was infected by her husband, since none of the mosquitoes which carry Zika were present in Colorado. What does that mean for the average listener? I think you can put two and two together. We'll talk more about it next week, in particular about the Zika virus, because this is going to get big. It's going to get very big, and the government, of course, is many steps behind it and trying to cover up what they know needs to be done. And what needs to be done from a public health standpoint, it's a tough one, but they have to do it. They have to ban all travelers from Zika-infested countries, meaning you go to the locus of infection, that's a standard practice in epidemiology, and you close down the source of infection. You don't let them travel here, for God's sakes. And also you curtail travelers going in and out of those countries, and if you have any suspicion that they may have been contracted the illness, you have to do something else. And that word is anathema in America today. It is a Q word. Quarantine. There is a reason for it. And if you think it's a dirty word, you're wrong. In fact, during the last plague that we had from Africa, the Zika virus incidentally originated in Africa, just so you know the origin of it. The last one we had, which was Ebola, they used quarantine. Do you remember? It's not a dirty word. It's a standard practice when you have common sense public health officials who care about the population. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. When I was in college, they were pretty good, to be honest with you. I mean, she didn't give them to me, but they did something for me. Back in the 50s, they gave those women pills. She didn't even know it. God rest her soul. She'd kill me if I said this. Kids do crazy things, I mean, when the mother's not looking. We come home from college early and we party in the house. I was irresponsible. What can I do? I'm a wild guy. I mean, I'm a free spirit. And that is why I am a Super Borders language culture guy, because I really will tell you the third world threatens all of us. I don't want to live in the third world. See, I'm one of the weird Americans who never really wanted to live in Africa. I never wanted to live in Iran. I never even wanted to live in Mexico, to be honest with you. I wanted clean, potable water. I didn't want the federal police being able to pull me over and shoot me for no reason. Oh, wait, that just happened in Oregon. Okay. Oh, and the water, right, just in Michigan, dirty water, police shooting people for no reason like in Oregon. Oh, wait, the third world has arrived. I'll take that back. Well, in a certain way, I mean, although I never wanted to live in the third world, Obama has brought the third world to America. And so this is glorious to the liberals who all say that they're citizens of the world. And soon they will see what they saw in Paris, and they'll say that Nixon did it. Yeah. All right, one pill makes you larger, one pill makes you small. And one pill does nothing, nothing, nothing at all.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You know, he's an anchor baby. Ted Cruz is an anchor baby in Canada. But Canada doesn't accept anchor babies. They just waited a long time. Okay. But look, Look, it is a problem for him, by the way. I think that's one of the reasons he's crashing. I think that's one of the reasons he's a nervous wreck.
What do you have to be on to even care about this song? Remember the day of the psychedelics, people would like listen for the lyrics, the meaning? Who in the world has time to listen to the meaning of lyrics in a song today? No one. No, who turns to junkies for knowledge anyway? No one. Anyway, here we are. Trump, Cruz, this one, that one, Jeb. Jeb, of course, attacked, as you'd expect, Jeb Bush, attacked Trump and kissed the skirt, I'll be very, very classy, of the Muslim blogger. How's that for a classy debate, Megan? That's really smart. Take a blogger with 1,200 followers and make her a questioner on the debate. I mean, what level do you have to fall to people really find out that your petticoat is not as clean as you would pretend it is in that regard? Okay, the petticoat refers to the spirituality of this organization. Oh, my God. I'm starting to think maybe I should try the tramadol that they give in Teddy. I got to squirt it in his mouth for pain. Meloxicam. 1.5 milliliters. No, sorry. Meloxicam, another painkiller. He's getting two pain medications and two antibiotics a day. Clavamax, gabapentin. I'm going to cut it off tomorrow. He's doing better. But he has a problem. I have to give him canned pumpkin. I never took care of an animal like this. When you think, here, Teddy, he knows I'm talking about. I'm sorry. What would you like to talk about today? I could talk about Zika. I could talk about Jeb Bush. They're about as interesting to me. I'd rather talk about the Zika virus instead of Jeb Bush. But if you want, I'll play a tape from Jeb Bush, who to me is about as interesting, less interesting than the Zika virus. Here is Jeb Bush doing what the candidates of that stripe do best, which is pander to anyone they think might find them offensive. Here he is talking to a Muslim blogger that Fox had the nerve to call for a commentary. I mean, it's unbelievably sickening. It's not that she's a Muslim. She has no following. What, 1,200 people makes her an important person? Listen to clip three.
Mr. Trump believed that in reaction to people's fears that we should ban all Muslims. Well, that creates an environment that's toxic in our own country. Nabella's a rising entrepreneur. She wants to pursue the American dream. She's an American citizen.
Please.
She should not feel uncomfortable about her citizenship.
Oh, God.
She's not the threat. The threat is Islamic terrorism. We need to focus our energies there, not these broad blanket kind of statements that will make it harder for us to deal with ISIS.
Now you know why the word Bush is synonymous with Quisling. When you say Bush today, it means Quisling, compromiser, sellout, milquetoast. Used to say milquetoast in my day. Casper Milquetoast was a character in a novel about a type like this. He didn't want to offend anybody. That's a Casper Milquetoast. And so here he is catering to some unknown blogger that was put on the stage in order to embarrass Trump. No wonder he didn't go on, that's all. Then, of course, Cruz, The Undertaker. If I were casting a vampire movie, I'm sorry to tell you, I read, I understand. I have a friend again, and a producer in L.A., yeah, big deal. You don't, I do. And he said, I deal in images, and Cruz is not electable. He agreed with me by email. He said he's unelectable because of it. He scares people. He has sneaky eyes. He looks like a villain, he said. Women feel that about Cruz. He's got that creep factor. So here, let's put aside the creep factor. Let's deal with the issues of the day. Is this the Ted Cruz that you support? Listen to clip two.
Donald Trump has chosen not to attend this evening's presidential debate. What message do you think that sends to the voters of Iowa?
Well, Megan, let me say at the outset to the men and women of Iowa, thank you for the incredible hospitality over this past year. Secondly, let me say I'm a maniac, and everyone on this stage is stupid, fat, and ugly. And Ben, you're a terrible surgeon. Now that we've gotten the Donald Trump portion out of the way,
okay, very funny. It's smart. But you talk about a comedian, a theatrical deliverer. How is that any different than what Trump was doing? Suddenly he found his nerve? All of a sudden he found a pair. Now he's got a great nerve. Cruz, suddenly, there's no one there to compete with him, so suddenly he's Donald Trump now. Now, he's insulting everyone by pretending he's not insulting them, okay? He was saying what he actually believed. He is a maniac. And everyone on the stage is stupid, fat, and ugly. That's what the Democrats think, by the way. By the way, if you stop the average, I hate the word millennial, like they're so important. Everyone, millennial, oh, the millennials think this, the millennials think that. Oh, the millennials, millennial. What a dumb media we have. Who cares what a bunch of millennials think? I don't care what millennials think at all. They don't interest me whatsoever. Let them stand online and learn what to think, because they don't know anything. They've been brainwashed their whole lives. What do they know? Nothing. They haven't even taken home a paycheck yet. You know, let them get back to me after they've taken home a paycheck and see what's deducted and where it goes. Then you can tell me what a millennial thinks. Next case. Megyn Kelly, the river dancer, kicks Cruz in the jaw. She didn't have Trump to kick around anymore, so she kicks Cruz now with a high kick. You have any about Riverdance music? I think we're going to play Riverdance music, Robert. That was popular 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Where'd the Riverdance go? It was hot music in the 90s, and it all of a sudden disappeared. I think they still play it in old age homes in New Jersey. They bring the women in from Ireland to do Riverdance for the poor people don't even know what they're doing. They think they're running from mice screaming. Cruz rips Chris Wallace. Okay, so clip 6 is a good one. Rather than 5, while you're looking for Riverdance music. Let's hear an interchange between Celia Cruz's son and Meatball Jr. in clip 6.
Chris, I would note that the last 4 questions have been, Rand, please attack Ted. Marco, please attack Ted. Chris, please attack Ted. Jeb, please attack Ted. Let me just say this.
It is a debate, sir.
Well, no. A debate actually is a policy issue. But I will say this. Gosh, if you guys ask one more mean question, I may have to leave the stage.
Oh, he couldn't take it either. Suddenly he can't take mean questions either. Fox is no good. Fox News is what I've been telling you for 5 years they are. They're not good. They're not reliable. I mean, I'm not going to dent their ratings. Not at all. But I've told you, how many years have I told you that about 3 years ago they started to move to the center and then they moved to the left? How many years ago did I first tell you that Fox has become CNN, that Fox today is what CNN was 4 years ago, 5 years ago? I told it to you before anyone else did. So now where is Fox? They're out to get the Republicans for one reason. How many different ways do I have to tell you the same thing? Rupert Murdoch, the owner of News Corporation, is an open borders guy. He doesn't live in the real world. He's powerful, he's smart, but he's slipping. He does not know what open borders have resulted in. All he knows is that it's good for those who want cheap labor, and they're on the same boards he's on. It's all they know, keep the factories and the hotels running. So he's for open borders. And there is another factor that I must mention, to be perfectly fair, and that is I believe 18% of Fox is still owned by a Saudi Arabian prince. And if you think that has no bearing on how they cover immigration and the Muslim question, I would disagree with you. Now, it could be that the prince sold a share. I kind of don't remember that. I don't follow it that closely. But they're interrelated in what I'm saying to you. There are forces and influences on Fox News that you should be aware of. That's all. Do you have the Riverdance music yet? Still looking? Yeah, play it. I want to just hear Riverdance music. Now you can segue into Megyn Kelly as she kicks him in the chin.
Senator Cruz, when Senator Rubio proposed that bill creating a path to citizenship, you proposed an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It would have allowed for legalization, but not citizenship. Yes, it would. Pressed last month on why you supported legalization, you claimed that you didn't.
Okay, let's
right,
stop.
Like you just
you
did.
See that how she's savoring in setting up one Republican after another? Let the brave Megyn Kelly do that to Hillary Clinton. Let her take on the Queen of Hearts. Let's see how tough she really is. She's real tough on nice, decent, Christian white men. Let's see her do that to a man of color. Let's see her do that to a gay. Let's see her do that to a Muslim. Let's see her do that to any Democrat, and you'll find out that it's all a charade. My opinion, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COI. So, we're talking about everything under the sun, including the so debate. What debate? It wasn't a debate. It was a wrestling match put on by Roger Ailes. He likes to have strong people stronger than himself rip each other to pieces. That's how he gets his rocks off. He manipulates them to attack each other, and he uses the river dancer to do what he can't do in person. He's not alone in that. In that, he is not alone. I feel good today. It's Friday, and I'm so tired from this week. I am so tired between the debates and the dog and the sickness and the anxiety and the electrocardiogram for the dog and then the teeth out and then seeing him sick and I thought he would die and he didn't and holding him and him crying and this. He's getting better now. He's starting to eat a little bit without teeth. Toothless dog. No, he still has his canines and a number of teeth. Still on meds. He's the mascot of the Savage Nation. I'm allowed to tell you that. Many of you know that. And I feel good because I just ate a taco during the break from a chain taqueria. A beef taco. Oh, my God. It was so good with such hot sauce. My tongue is on fire. Because if there's a lot of germs around, I want to have a lot of hot sauce in my mouth. Why do you think hot sauce is so popular in Mexico and Point South? How did it develop that the chili pepper was used to such an extent? They had very bad sanitation. They had very bad, no refrigeration. And that's where the hot spices came in. Whether it goes back to ancient Egyptian times or any culture. So in these times, you should start eating spices. I know that's hard to understand if you're a Republican. If you like white bread and mayonnaise sandwiches, and your idea of a beverage at night is a hot glass of milk, you're not going to like the diet you're going to have to be on in the coming, in the new America. But you can't do anything about it. You caused it. WSBA Kim, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your point? What's on your mind? How are you? How are you? How are you?
I'm not allowed to say hi and how are you, so I'm going to say hi anyway. Two Trump points. First of all, it was refreshing to hear people be able to debate without the bully in the middle of the stage. That's my opinion. Second point, and you know the real reason that Trump didn't show up, and it's not the Megyn Kelly story that they put out there, but as you notice, there were two videos played by Fox on Cruz points over his history and Rubio points. Well, Trump's campaign got wind of the fact that they also had film or coverage or whatever on him, on points he's made over the years and how he's waffled, and that was the real reason Trump didn't show up to the debate.
And so, well, you're making a very good point. You're making a fine point. I'm not here to defend Trump. I still will vote for him because I think he's the best chance we have to save the country. So what are you saying? He's a politician like the rest of them?
Yeah, it was just really refreshing to not have him in the middle of the stage. I mean, Trump, you know.
So in other words, you're a purist. You'd rather lose the election to Hillary or Bernie. That makes sense.
Up against either of those two, you bet I'll take Trump in a million years. However,
What did you just say? If it was a choice between Hillary, Bernie, and Trump, you would take who?
Oh, Trump in a heartbeat.
All right, I hear what you're saying. You're going to go by default. In other words, you're a default voter.
In a heartbeat. If this was a billionaire bully, and you know he's the kind of kid in school that if he doesn't get his own way, he's a bully. And so
I take it that you were not popular in school. Good-looking guys didn't date you.
Pretty much.
Like I didn't hear it.
Hey, I've listened to you.
So he was the frat boy from private school who wouldn't even look at you.
Hey, I listened to you for 5 years, and I'm a sexy redhead. I love you.
Oh, that hurt. I like that, Kim. But you understand. You can take it. Come on. You're tough.
Hey, you know
really you're touching on something that's emotionally interesting to me. Because I've been saying that women do like Trump and they don't like Cruz and things like that. But here you are, a woman who doesn't like either of them. Isn't that true?
No, I like all of them. Any of them except for the guy on the far left. What was his name, Rand Paul?
What's with him? What happened to that guy? What happened to that guy? Why is he becoming such a loser?
Well, I don't like his curly perm on top and his straight hair on the side. I really don't.
Oh, God, I don't even notice that. It's curly on top and straight on the side. What does that indicate? That he had a permanent?
Ben Carson, and he got no time to talk, as usual.
Well, that's why he's unqualified at any speed. If he can't make himself heard in a crowded auditorium, how's he going to make himself heard in a world forum? He's got to stop being so polite and so nice. He better go back to the guy who broke things and attacked people with screwdrivers that he told us about. Remember he said a few debates ago, old Ben, that he once attacked someone with a screwdriver because he had a hot temper and he learned to control it?
When he was a kid.
Yeah, well, okay, if he got a little more, theatrical with that, maybe that would work for him. I like him, Ben. I'm not putting him down. I like Carson from the get-go. Again, he's not electable. He'd be a great guy to run some major division of the government. I don't know which yet. I'm still trying to think about which one, because I don't want him running for HHS, because I want that job. You know, people think I'm serious about that. They think that Trump and I worked out a deal. Hey, Mike, you know, if you push me, I'll... I mentioned it on the show twice because I wanted to see his reaction. And he said that makes sense. That was his reaction. Just as he said, when I brought up the issue Monday, I said, Mr. Trump, how about a combat veteran to run the Defense Department instead of a policy wonk? He said, that makes sense to me. And I recommended Tom Cotton, okay?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
He gets very badly hurt, and he's going down. Ted Cruz is going down. Plus, he has the Canada problem. I mean, he's got a huge problem, that problem with Canada. So whether or not he can even run, I think he cannot run. So we'll see what happens. But what I'd like to tell you was by design. Maybe it was by instinct, okay? But it was not a good night for him, and it wasn't good for a couple of the other folks. It was not good at all. And in the meantime, I had my forum. And I had tremendous numbers of veterans, and we raised $6 million, and it was a good night for us.
He did good. And his event was good. And then you got to see the other candidates, which was good. Didn't hurt him. I don't know that it helped Donald Trump, but it helped the veterans. And it certainly exposed the river dancer for what she is. She's a performer and a very good one. And her job is to kick... Republicans in the ribs because they won't fight back and attack her. I would see if it was me. If she attacked me, I'd attack her. Believe me, I would have done opposition research on her background, who she is, where she comes from, and then I would have attacked her. I wouldn't have just said, oh, don't kick me anymore. But this is what you get when you get old white men on the stage. Or if they're not old, they act like they're old. Why are they taking it from her? She's just a news dancer. He said, I'm not taking it from her, and he got off the stage. She's like a contestant in one of his events. He looks down upon her as a contestant in one of his beauty contests, who's trying to take over the beauty contest. And so that's what that was about. This is what we're reverting to in America today. We're down to this. ISIS is raping and pillaging. I got a story for you. I was holding it because I couldn't read it myself, came out only today from Europe. ISIS sex slaves forced to undergo horrifying two-finger test. I'm not going to read it to you. I think the title says it all. These girls were kidnapped and subjected to months of brutal sexual assaults. And as if being the sex slave of an Islamic State terrorist isn't horrific enough, countless women and girls were then subjected to further humiliation, barbaric and appalling virginity tests. Those who escaped and survived to reveal the horrors that they endured at the hands of Islamic State militants, were forced to undergo the test conducted by Kurdistan officials. So in other words, the whole bunch of them are no good. They're all brutal throwbacks. I don't care what their ethnicity is or nationality is, rather. They are all throwbacks. They all live in the 15th century. The girls underwent the abusive and inaccurate procedure as part of a forensic post-rape examination, said Women's Rights Division, blah, 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 a recent dispatcher's report. It's sickening. It's just heartbreaking to think that this is going on in our day and age. And of all people, I have the most... I can't use the right word. I better use the exact right word for fear of losing my radio show to this very powerful lobby. The groups... that I am most disappointed in for saying zero, near zero, are the Jewish groups. All of the loud, outspoken Jewish groups Say nothing about the rape of the Yazidi girls. It makes me sick. They should be on the front lines of this human rights violation. But they're not. They're not saying a word about it. And they should. Isn't the motto of the Jewish groups never again? Can they stop thinking only about Jewish people? Can these groups stop thinking only about the Jewish experience? Can they start doing something for someone else? Can they help the Yazidi girls by exposing what the ISIS maniacs are doing to these girls, is what I'm saying. I don't have to name them by name. You know who they are. I've named them before. To me, Religion Incorporated is what it's all about. I don't care what the religion is. Catholic Charities is guilty of their shenanigans. Baptist Family Services, their shenanigans. And, of course, the Jewish groups are no different. And they should say something. 3,000 to 5,000 young girls and women are enslaved by ISIS. Most of them come from the Yazidi minority, who are persecuted as devil worshippers. Now, what should be done is that Obama should have saved these girls by now. Hillary, of all people, should be saying something about this. Let's put aside everything else. Shouldn't Hillary, as the champion of those who wear a skirt? Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't mean women anymore. It could be Scotsmen. Shouldn't Hillary, as the champion of those who... No, that doesn't mean anything anymore. Shouldn't those who identify as women, who look to Hillary Clinton as their savior because she identifies as a woman, shouldn't she, as the leader of those who identify as women, be saying the most about the rape of these girls and women? Has she said it recently? No. Because, what is she? Whatever. Okay, if you care to comment, 855-407-282. You should see the things on my Facebook page. What is wrong with people that they have nothing to do but write terrible things about me or Teddy? Can't you do anything else with your life? You know, you're going to be taken down anyway. If you put hate up, that doesn't advance the conversation. I'm going to remove it or my staff removes it. That's all. Dear Savage, thanks for going on today, despite Teddy's problems. Trump's wall, Moloch. Trump wins. I hope he changes the name of the Golden Gate Bridge to the Savage Bridge when he wins. And the mosquito thing, and no one wants to talk about that. Dear Dr. Savage, Teddy will be fine without his teeth. Many dogs have their teeth taken out and manage just fine even with kibble. Whatever you normally feed him, you give him chunks cut. But, all right, I don't want to talk about the dog. Let's go to the callers. KSFO, Rick. Topic, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, you and Teddy are the tops, but I wanted to say that I'm all in for the Trump cotton ticket because we need two good warrior chiefs. But my moment of truth with the River Dancer was her highly derisive interview with Tom Cotton, which I don't know if you've seen, which took place.
Wait. When did she interview the war hero, Tom Cotton? When did she do that, the River Dancer?
It was during the Iran nuclear surrender debacle. And if you think she was disrespectful to Trump, you ought to hear that. You'd be cursing at the TV as
I... You mean she supported the Iran sellout?
No, she supported the idea that the president and the people behind him had the right to do what they were doing, that Cotton had no right to interfere with it, even though he was doing it in a very respectful way.
In other words, a senator has no right to even comment, but just a measly river dancer does?
Well, she said, what do you hope to accomplish here? Do you really think this is going to make a difference? It was like a CNN-style interview.
What do we learn then about this high-kicking river dancer with her attitudes towards all white men? What is she doing here?
I don't know, but you saw it before I did. That was the thing that convinced me. You had said it before, and I realized that you were absolutely right after I saw that interview. To have people look at that, it will make you sick to see your interview.
I don't think most people don't know who Tom Cotton is. When Donald was on the show Monday, I said, would you agree on this show to choose a combat veteran to run the Defense Department? And I would nominate Tom Cotton. He said, that sounds like a good idea. I'm the only one to have brought that up. But what is Fox News doing by attacking a man as fine as Tom Cotton, attacking all the Republican candidates as though they are the enemy, and saying nothing but nice things to all the Democrats whenever they appear on that show? What does that tell you about Fox News?
I think it tells you that secretly, or not even so secretly anymore, that they're for the opposition. I think that
they are. It's well known Murdoch is a Clinton supporter. I think it's established. It's open. He's come out of the closet on that one. He supports Hillary Clinton. So why is he ashamed to give an infomercial? on his own network saying, I'm Rupert Murdoch, I support Hillary Clinton, and I approve of this message. And then get Roger Ailes to wallow out and say, I am Roger Ailes. I'm the kingmaker behind the scenes, and I support Hillary Clinton and open borders. And I fooled all of you rubes for all of these years. Now have a nice day. And I approve of this message.
Logically, I don't think it's something they could do directly because it doesn't make any sense. It has to be done in a surreptitious way. That's my opinion.
You know they've gone after me behind the scenes. You know that. They've done things that I can't even disclose to me that you'll never believe. That I can't even talk about. They own a lot of entities. They own magazines. They own publishing companies. And you know that ironically, they own HarperCollins, who published several of my books a few years ago and did very well with them. I don't even think they know that they made money with me. And yet, even though HarperCollins, which is an imprint of News Corporation, made a lot of money with my book, I was still banned from their television network. Think about the idiocy of that one. All right, look, I don't want to talk about that ad infinitum. Okay, what do we have now? WABC, thank goodness. Stephen, what's on your mind?
Thank you very much, Michael. The reason that the Jewish groups may not be complaining about the behavior of Islamic groups is that there may be sort of an analogous thin blue line or an understanding between Orthodox thinkers. And I'm wondering what you think about that. An alliance. Oh, yeah, they're in that group, the Orthodox group, so we won't complain about them. They won't complain about us. What do you think about that?
I don't think it goes that far, personally. I know what you're implying, but I don't think it's a valid implication at all, because there are despicable things done by Orthodox religious people in all religions. There's no question about that. And I have criticized some of those practices on this show. I held nothing back when I talked about the barbaric practice of some Orthodox Jewish sects, which perform circumcision by permitting some psycho to bite the foreskin off the baby. You know that's a fact, don't you?
Right, the Brit. Yeah, the Brit.
Okay, listen to me.
Listen.
That's the sickest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And I was so roundly attacked by Orthodox Jewish groups for that. And others said, no, you're right. Modern Orthodox don't do that because you're transmitting viruses by doing it. It's sick. It goes back to ancient times. They're sick for doing it. And they're, oh, it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It doesn't say do it with your mouth. Some sicko did it 1,000 years ago. And they say, oh, that's tradition. There's a lot of traditions that are stupid and sick. What, because it's a tradition to rape the prisoners of another tribe? That should be in your lexicon of things that you do? Of course not.
I'm still online with you.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, good. It's akin to,
What were you talking to? Wait a minute, I just heard you talking to someone else about going online with you. What was that about?
I asked you if I'm still in this phone call.
Oh, it's hard to tell, I know, in radio. People don't know.
I
think I answered the question. The answer is no. I don't think there's any spillover between Orthodox Jewish people and ISIS in any way, shape, or form. However, I will say this, and it's a very dangerous thing to say as well, but I'm a free thinker. I read the Old Testament. And many of the barbaric insanity that you see ISIS acting out can be found in this book. Do you know that?
Listen,
do you understand that if you read Leviticus, much of what the psychos in ISIS are doing, you can find in the Old Testament? Are you aware of that?
I'm aware that hypnosis, Orthodox thinking is hypnosis. They start with the people being toddlers, and they inculcate.
Right, well, I don't want to bash Orthodox. That's not what I'm saying. Where do you think the radical Muslims derived their Quran from, in large part? I mean, you got to be a fool and to not understand that the Jewish religion, of the three monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the Jewish religion was first, Christianity was second, and the Muslim religion, Islamic religion, was third. And much of what is in the Islamic holy books is derived directly from the five books of Moses. And all you've got to do is read any of it to understand this. If you want to talk about it, I don't think people care. If you read Leviticus, which I've studied repeatedly for 40 years, Much of what is in there is in the Muslim holy books. Some of it makes sense, but some of it doesn't. There, the Jewish people have dropped the prohibitions against certain behaviors, or they don't kill lepers, they don't kill adulterers, they don't kill adulteresses, rather. But apparently in the more primitive regions of the Islamic world, they still follow the proscribed, punishments that are laid out in Leviticus, which I've read repeatedly. And so it comes down to, no divination, no tattoos. What do you think the Muslims in those countries would do with someone who has tattoos on them? And they'd probably kill them, right? They would say that they're devils, like the Yazidis they call. And it's a shame that they haven't gone through a reformation. They are the purists in their mind. They haven't even progressed beyond the origins of their own holy book. And so you have to read it for yourself to understand the threat that mainstream, middle-class Muslims are facing from their own religion. Well, that hits us up against the golden calf of talk radio, which is the hard break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
It is great to be against the war after you vote for the war. It is great to be for gay rights after you insult the entire gay community by supporting DOMA.
That's what we need. A college demagogue commie. You know, I'm looking at Sanders. You know how much I love him. And I couldn't believe it. I was watching an ad on TV just now. Do you know he's a dead ringer for who? Bernie Sanders, a dead ringer for the guy who runs eHarmony. They could be like a doppelganger. And so I'm thinking that after he's forgotten Bernie, he can run a dating site for communists. He can call it e-commie. I think it would be a big thing for all those people who love him. Then I see an article, New York area ports shut down as longshoremen walk off job. And I said to myself, where are the shortshoremen? Does Rand Paul know where they might be? Where are the shortshoremen these days? We all know what a longshoreman is, but where are the shortshoremen? Maybe they're in a pygmy area of an island yet to be discovered. They'd be called shortshoremen. I'm just joking around here. How much can you take of this? This is when it's going to comment. Yes, one's going to comment. That's going to comment. I can't wait already to the end of the day to hear who's going to say what. Bill O'Reilly's going to comment on the comments of the comments that were made about the comments, about his comments about the comments. Stay tuned. How much can you take? Is there no saturation level for listening to commentary about commentary? There must be a saturation point at which you'll finally stop commenting on commenting on comments. Well, apparently not. Today, it's all you want to do is comment on. You don't care about the Zika virus. You don't care about diseases without borders. You don't care that your government is covering up disease. You don't care about anything other than comments on the comments on the comments. So, in the next hour, I will comment on all of the comments that I've made in the last 2 hours, right here on the comment show of comment shows, the Savage Commentary.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All of you Russian speakers who have fled the Soviet Union and have made new lives for yourself in America, what I'm about to say is very familiar to you, but for the average American dunce, they don't know what I'm talking about generally, even if they agree with me. They don't know why they agree with me, but their instincts are correct. What is at stake in this election is nothing less and nothing more than what happens on one level or another in the novel Dr. Zhivago, written by Boris Pasternak, and it was first published in 1957 in Italy. The film came out many years later, in 1965, and it was the most popular film of its time. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing the theme from Dr. Zhivago. Why is it of any importance to you? Because it was a time when the communist bloc was behind the Iron Curtain. It was a very powerful bloc. People were living in slavery. And this book tells the story of one doctor through many phases of Russian history that begins in Imperial Russia in 1903. And it leads you through what happens to this single man and a love affair with Lara, played by Julie Christie, during the Bolshevik or Communist Revolution. And what you see after the October Revolution and the Russian Civil War, what the communists do to middle-class families, almost exactly what Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Bernie Sanders have done, would do, or will do if they're allowed to get away with it. And that is take away the property of the middle class. And there's nothing more telling in that movie than when I first saw it, was their beautiful estate that they live in is occupied after the Russian Revolution by a group of rabble. They take the owners of the estate and put them in the basement of their own estate house, and they put rabble from the gutters into their estate, who now live in the bedrooms, etc. This is very much what Obama's dream is. It's the mad, mad dream of Barack Obama, that the middle class should be broken and brought down. I don't mean this literally, but I mean it in a certain way. That's exactly what he's been doing. In essence, he's putting the same kind of rabble into America, and eventually he'll put them into your house. America is our home. Obama has destroyed our home by flooding America with third worlders who don't belong here to begin with. They don't come here to work. Many of them come here to live off the fat of the land. And unfortunately, many of them come here diseased, as you well know. But again, going back to the main theme of Dr. Zhivago, it's the effect of communism on one man, one doctor, Yuri, who is the protagonist. And as he flees Moscow with his family by train to Tanya's family's former estate called Varikino, located in the Ural Mountains, you see some of the most beautiful scenery. I don't even know where they filmed this this movie. And you see the decrepit house, and you see how it is, and also you see the evil nature of the revolutionaries in this movie. It's really worth watching with your kids and try to explain to them that that's what would happen in this country if Bernie Sanders were to win on one level or another. That's exactly who Bernie Sanders is. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are fundamentally the Bolsheviks. If you dare put any health food on the menu, immediately the audience rejects the menu. They turn it right off. I'm not criticizing you directly, just indirectly. I'm criticizing my audience just slightly indirectly for not wanting to hear anything except Trump and Cruz and Cruz and Trump and Trump. Anyway, take your kids to the living room movie tonight and rent Dr. Zhivago from 1965. Omar Sharif plays the young doctor, and he falls in love with beautiful Lara Gishar, Julie Christie. It's a beautiful movie. I mean, anyone who's seen the movie was moved by it in the 60s. Does anyone remember that movie? You want to talk about why I'm talking about Omar Sharif and Julie Christie? He's dead already. I hear he died. She's still around. I think she's on a walker in Boca Raton eating Metamucil. She's making Metamucil pancakes in Julie. Today, look, a Jefferson Airplane guy died. Larry Kantner, 74. You know, look, whatever. I'm not gloating over it. Just glad it wasn't me. I'm glad I didn't read about me in the newspaper today, but then again, I couldn't now, because if I did, it wouldn't be there. He used to hang around a certain cafe. He was a nice enough old guy, chain-smoked. And I don't have to tell you what else raw musicians did over the last 40 years that I didn't do. Now, let's not talk about the State Department withholding top-secret Clinton memos. No, let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about the fact that a liberal schoolteacher helped the jailbirds escape in California by giving them saws Let's not talk about the Hannibal Lecter that she let get out of jail because she thought he loved her. Oh, God. That's unreal, right? Now, Fox is spinning last night's debate, saying it's the second highest rated show in Fox News history. Total bull. Total double talk. The first highest was with Donald Trump. But of course, the second highest, you idiots. You think people are that dumb? Yes. If they believe what you put out on the air, of course they're that dumb. I think Rachel Maddow is more to be believed now than Fox News. You know, I trust Rachel Maddow more than I do Kelly Springfield, whatever her name is. Is her name Kelly Springfield, the river dancer? I forget. Well, whatever her name is. At least you know Maddow is a commie psycho, and she's consistent. The other one pretended to be a conservative all these years. Now she's going after the leading candidates of the conservative wing of the conservative, non-conservative party. Freed from sanctions, Iran makes billion-dollar deals. Really? No kidding. You didn't know that would happen? That why the Italians covered up the statues? How many U.S. senators have done deals through their husbands? Or shall I say, how many U.S. let's put it in a more generic sense, because I really don't want to swim at the fishes. Let's say it this way. How many U.S. politicians have family members who are making hundreds of millions of dollars on deals with Iran? Nobody knows, because it's not covered by Fox News. Why? Interlocking corporate directorships. That's all. Oregon suspects won't be released. You hear what they're doing to them, this fascist dictatorship that I told you about? First, they kill one of the men who gave up. Now, the other men, they're not releasing. Can you believe this? A federal communist judge, Stacey F. Beckerman, a so-called U.S. magistrate judge, said she will not release any of the people arrested in the standoff while the occupation continues. That's totally illegal. The judge should be thrown off the bench for this. They killed one of them. They made their point. They arrested the others. Now they have a right to their day in court. But this U.S. magistrate is now acting like a communist dictator, a court-appointed communist Politburo member, and she won't let any of the others out of prison. Now, many of you cheer that. Yeah, yeah, they'll keep them in jail. 11 people arrested, and this little dictator in a skirt says you can't, we're not letting you out. Violation of their civil rights. Ladies and gentlemen, if they were all black, and one black man was killed by a white policeman, and then they wouldn't let the others who had protested out of jail, can anyone tell me what would be going on in this country? We have illegal immigrant invaders occupying San Francisco and other cities known as sanctuary cities. Illegal immigrant invaders occupying San Francisco. Here we have an empty wildlife refuge. Poor white farmers go in there and say, we don't approve of your policies, and they kill one of them and arrest the others and won't let him out of jail. Don't say a fugitive from justice resisted arrest and was shot by an Oregon State officer. The Oregon State police officer is a fascist murderer. And if you want to see the tape, you can find the tape. He came out with his hands up and they killed him. And why are they keeping the rest of them in prison? How about Ruby Ridge? Who got sent to jail for that? How come Waco? Who got sent to jail for that? Now, they were different situations, by the way. But they didn't get what they deserved at Ruby Ridge nor Waco. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is a miscarriage of justice. How do you feel when you see law enforcement tanks knocking over homes, setting buildings on fire, and other agents shooting anyone trying to escape when they tell them to put your hands up? 855-407-282. Are you going to prosecute the cop who shot an unarmed man with his hands up, Mr. Obama? Miss Lynch, are you going to investigate this violation of civil rights? The Oregon State Police officer, we have the tape. It's on michaelsavage.com. You don't care. Okay. You want Trump Cruise. All aboard. Trump Cruise. Nothing else. Zero. Like a brain-dead audience. Trump Cruise. When is this going to be over? Please save me from the American political nightmare. This is sickening. I think it is a creation. You know, I heard when I was young that Mother's Day, Father's Day, all those Valentine's Day and all, were holidays created for selling products. And maybe they are. They have nice meanings. I kind of like them. And to sell greeting cards. I'm starting to think that the American elections are not much different than greeting card holidays. And I think the American elections are held for the media only to boost ratings and drive up ad revenue. And frankly, I'm so tired of it. I'd rather talk about scabbies than talk about the election. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2647. How much can you listen to comments on the comments on the comments on the comments about what happened? How much can you take already? Don't you want to vote and get it over with? Let him indict Hillary. Let it be Bernie against Trump. Let it be communism versus capitalism, and you'll see America's not ready for communism. It's that simple. You'll come to your senses at that point. Okay, let's take some calls. Daniel on WJR in Detroit. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Savage. From Michigan here, and I think a lot of people, us Michiganers, want to see Trump versus Bernie Sanders. We've had a GOP kind of running our state for a while, and if you've noticed in recent headlines, our governor, Snyder, who's backed by, you know, a lot of rich families who get to have secret money kind of going to the GOP party in Michigan here, he's done a terrible job with the state. So I think
you would blame Republicans for what happened to Detroit as well?
I would say no, and
you know, go ahead. Blame Nixon for what happened to Detroit when you had a black mayor.
Well, I'm aware that, you know,
you had a black Democrat mayor running Detroit. He robbed it blind and collapsed the city. So you're going to blame that on Republicans too?
No, I am aware that both Flint and Detroit have had Democrat rule before Snyder came in.
Oh, well, thank you very much. You mean there was an actual past to what is happening today and that the evil Republicans didn't create it all? Moreover, you're saying that Hillary Clinton doesn't get any money from billionaires and trillionaires and that she herself is not a multi-hundred millionaire?
Well, I definitely, I'm with you there with Hillary, but this...
All right, well, thank you very much. If you're a communist, there's a place for you to go. You can go to Hungary, for example. I think they still have a branch of the Communist Party. You can go to, I think that there are still blocks, communist parties in many portions of the nations within the EU. They still have a splinter group for communists. And I have nothing against it. At least people can make a choice. This is the problem in America. If we had a rational political system with a large spectrum of choices, tell me where Bernie Sanders would be represented, with which branch, which plank of which party. He'd be in the communist, which they don't call it anymore. He would be the socialist plank of the far left party. Now, you're going to tell me that that man is capable of representing a nation of hundreds of millions of people who don't want anything to do with communism unless they themselves are either on the receiving end of the largesse of such a state or they will profit directly from such a state? Why would anyone want communism if they're working for a living? You know what I often say to people? Say, well, you know, I have a cousin or a brother-in-law, and they vote liberal all the time. I say, tell me about him. Do they work? No, they're students. Tell me about him. Well, he's basically a slacker. He's 40 years old. He's never really held a job. He lives in his mother's house. Okay? He doesn't really know what's going on. He's stoned all the time. Okay? Anyone who works for a living doesn't want to vote Democrat, socialist, because all they're going to do is look at their first paycheck. You take a young kid, they come out of college, they don't know anything, but already they're full of opinions that are put in their head like parrots. They come out, and some of them were bright when they went in. They're basically useless when they come out of college. They have to be re-educated by real life 101. And all they got to do is look at their first paycheck at their first real job. And even if that job is in Starbucks, even if it's just serving coffee, if they look at what is deducted at the end of the day of their work, they'll say, my God, that's high. I didn't know that. I had a scholarship. My father sent me money. My mother sent me money. I didn't know that taxes were so high. And then eventually they get a real job, and it's even worse for them. Anyone who is not a liberal at 20 has no heart. Anyone who's still a liberal at 40 has no mind.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287. Savage.
Anyway, the big news of the day is so big that I've been saving it for the last hour. Many of you think that I save it for the first 2 hours. Generally, I do. This is so big that I've saved it for the last 20 minutes. Top secret info found in Clinton emails. This is the biggest story of the year. The emails are so top secret that they won't release them, saying that people can't even look at them in Congress. But the bigger part of the story is that the State Department itself just turned on Hillary Clinton, threw her under the bus. The State Department itself threw Hillary Clinton under the bus today, 3 days before the Iowa caucuses, in which Clinton is a candidate against the Bolshevik. The John Kirby, the State Department spokesmouth, said this. He said, the documents are being upgraded at the request of the intelligence community because they contain a category of top secret information. So they're not going to publish them online because they are so highly sensitive. And what that means is that they probably contain information that could lead back to the double agents who provided it, and they'll get killed. So why would Clinton release them? Let me tell you something else. Even if Hillary only read and didn't write or forward the secret messages, she still was required to report classification slippages that she recognized. But she's going to argue that there were no classification markings, so she didn't know that they were that top secret. Did you hear what I just said? Her spokesmouth today said, we firmly oppose the complete blocking of the release of these emails. You hear? So she's saying she wants them released. Well, that's an interesting statement. Why would she say that we oppose the blocking of the release of these emails if her own State Department is saying that we're not releasing all of them, that we're censoring 22 emails that require one of the highest levels of classification? We're going to have the sound, by the way, in a few minutes of John Kirby of the State Department saying that. They're throwing her under the bus. She's saying if they release them, she can defend herself. They're saying they're so top secret they can't release them. So doesn't that indicate to you that her own State Department, who works not for her, but for who? Who does the State Department report to? The magician. Merlin the magician controls the State Department. Have you noticed Merlin has been silent this week? He said almost nothing. Merlin's been in the background, and he sends out the communists from Chicago, Axelrod. Axelrod, the lifetime street organizer communist. Axelrod is so to the left of Bernie Sanders that he makes Bernie Sanders look like a Republican. I love every time I turn on a channel now, all I see is Axelrod like a legitimate spokesman without anyone identifying. The guy should come with a warning label. Axelrod, who was Obama's brain, should come with a warning label on his chest. Caution, I have been a lifetime left-wing fanatic. I think people ought to wear warning labels in this scene. No one knows who they are. They wear a suit and tie, you don't know who they are. That's topic number 1297 today. And I'm still going strong. How is that possible? Where do I get this energy from? I have no idea. 74 years old, he died today. The singer for what's that group I've been talking? Jefferson Airplane. But he smoked. You always say, but, while you're alive and he's not. Or you say, that was close. You know, sorry to hear it. Sorry he died. But then you look at why. Oh, he smoked. It's like you grab onto something, anything. The worst cases are guys who are younger than you who die and you inquire. So really, no kidding. What was his life like? Oh, he took vitamins day and night. Really? No kidding. Well, but he used drugs. No, he never touched them. In fact, he didn't even drink. You don't know where to go with that. Well, he probably didn't exercise. Probably sat around. No. He was a fanatic gym guy. Went to the gym, ran. Perfect shape. Perfect blood pressure, low cholesterol, and he died anyway. You don't know where to go with that. You gag. But we all do it. I mean, anyone with a rational mind who has an orientation towards survival always asks sort of, do you do that? Robert, don't you know all the guys who do that? You don't do it at your age yet, right? At 28? No one does it yet. Working for me, the guys are going to wind up in a psychiatric ward fearing death and health problems. I'm trying to lighten you up, lighten up a little. It's Friday. It's been a long, heavy week, for God's sakes. Rubio now he's the leader. Look at this, what this country's come to. Look at this guy, a shill. A shill that they found in Miami selling ice cream with a bell. They made him a senator, and now they think he can be president. Well, they know America. They're probably right. Why not? Why couldn't he be president? If a Barack Obama could become president, why not Marco Rubio? What's the difference between the two of them? Marco Rubio would have come with a warning label. Hello, I am just a frat boy. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, he looks like a cheerleader. All he needs is a megaphone. He could be in a 1940s movie. A big letter on his chest with a megaphone. That he has that look. A lot of women like him. He has that boyish look. They trust him. Say, oh, come on, I'm not that kind of woman. People will go for looks. There's Chuck Todd. You know, beards generally look good on men. Chuck Todd ought to really ditch that beard. On him, it looks like it came from a theatrical shop in order to give him some gravitas, which he could never have. Fake beards do not give you gravitas, Chuck. You need a brain. There's something missing in your DNA. All right, line two. Marlon, no one cares about politics. Marlon, what's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, thank you, sir. I've been trying to reach you for several months now. Get through. I grew up in the streets of Oakland, San Francisco, and I was a member of a demo liberal plantation. I served in the Air Force, and I started listening to you. Since listening to you, my life has changed in good ways.
Wow. Really, that's an amazing statement, because in the Bay Area, I mean, I basically know who listens to me, I would think, but I don't. So obviously you're not a member of the demographic I'm talking about, are you?
No, I'm I graduated Mission High School. I'm a black man who, I have two kids, and I'm taking care of my kids. I'm taking care of my wife, my family. And
so what? Okay, let's go back. Everyone wants to hear this when they do radio, and I don't want to indulge myself any more than I normally do, but I want to ask you a question. How long ago did you start listening to me in San Francisco on KSFO?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay, but I've been on 21 years, you know that. So at first you hated me?
No, I really, you were somebody that I would hear on the radio from someone else's, on someone else's desk, you know? And to me, you were just another radio talk show host until this particular coworker started telling me, he's not like the others, he's not like... I don't want to mention any names, but you know what I'm talking
about. No, we can't mention any other names. So, okay, I struck a chord with you. And what is it that you heard in me, given that you were born on the plantation here of the Democrat Socialist plantation in San Francisco, run by Willie Brown, Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, and Jerry Brown? What allowed you to break free of the propaganda?
You have a message. In everything that you say, there's a message that you send out, sometimes directly, sometimes not. And not so directly, but it's you often say, you know what, don't look at the other, don't look at any politicians or any of these people to free you or to liberate you. Liberate yourself.
Right.
You know?
That's right. Ultimately, we hold the key to our own servitude in our own hands.
I went back to school. I got my degree. I have a good-paying job, and I have...
Were you ever incarcerated...
Was I ever incarcerated? Yes, I was.
Because, it says, I saved you from a life of crime. Had you been incarcerated, how long ago?
22 years ago.
Okay, and how many years did you do?
Did 7 years for robbing and doing some bad things to a drug dealer.
So let me ask you something. When you're in prison, you talk to people. You have a lot of time on your hands. And you talk very real in prison, don't you? There's no room for even so much as one word that's wrong, because you can get killed if you start, you know. Isn't it true that you talk to each other in a certain realistic way?
To certain people, yeah. There's a stigma that everyone who's locked up is stupid. There's a lot of people in prison who are not stupid. They just made stupid decisions.
Oh, I know that very well. I had a man on this show 10, 15 years ago. I won't mention his name. Very nice man. He was arrested for mortgage fraud 20 years ago. He was a very wealthy man, lived in Marin County. They took his home, seized all his assets. They put him in San Quentin. He came on this show. White guy, middle class white guy, was worth a lot of money, lost everything, went to jail. And he said that he survived in prison by becoming basically a legal researcher for the toughest gang member in prison. They protected him. And he said there is a way to survive in prison if you can provide a service for somebody in that regard. It's not all what everyone thinks it is. I'm sure you can verify that that's a fact. And what I'm saying by telling that story again on the show is that I'm acknowledging we're all one mistake away from prison in this over-politicized, over-penalized nation.
That's right. We are. And for those who are there, those who have been there, that's not the end of the road. You know what? You have to learn from your mistakes. You know, I never turned back. I never looked back. I never returned to that. And once I started listening to you, I'd say I was in third gear. Just listening to
Interesting.
You. Interesting.
So you make a good living. You support your wife and kids. And you're calling to say that you enjoy talk radio. And again, I'm not looking for a loyalty oath. I wouldn't even ask you who you're going to vote for, but I'll ask you, who are you going to vote for? let's put it this way. I don't know whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Let's put that aside. Looking at the men on the stage, including Carly Fiorina, who would you say is the most appealing to you and why?
Well, you know, there's a saying, Dr. Savage, common sense ain't common. And the person who's most appealing to me is Donald Trump. And why? Because he's the same person. He is the same person. He doesn't switch up. He tells it like it is, and he can relate to everything and everybody. He's not a politician. I like that.
Interesting. Now, here is a. I don't have to have repeat and summarize, you know, what your demographic is and what your background is. You're the opposite of what the media would say is an individual who would be attracted to Donald Trump. But when I had him on this show two times ago, did you catch the interview with him Monday by any chance?
No, I did not. I was...
Oh, he was on. It was unbelievable. But two times ago, I said to him, I understand that by the latest poll, 25% of African Americans say they're going to vote for you. I said, Donald, that means that the number is probably closer to 50% because many people will be ashamed to tell a pollster that they would vote for you. What do you see in your community with regard to that statement?
In the black community... I see blacks leaning towards Donald Trump. They speak positively of him, but like you said, a lot of people don't have the strength to speak up and speak their mind. That's why you have.
That's amazing. And you know why? I said on this show, Donald, Marlon, I'm sorry. One of the reasons he appeals to ethnic minorities, Hispanics, blacks, etc., even gay people, is because they're so used to being lied to by politicians. That they'll take a guy who they think is telling the truth, even if they don't agree with all of his policies. Wouldn't you say that that sort of summarizes his appeal?
That summarizes it. You know, I refer to the Democratic Party as the demo-liberal plantation because so many blind people are part of it and continue to be a part of it to their detriment.
Well, Marlon, I'm so thrilled that you have KSFO as a resource here in San Francisco. I've been on the station for so many years. I was one of the first hosts I was the first host on it when it was created in 1994. I'm sending you a copy of my book, Government Zero, to open up, not only open your eyes, which are wide open, but to give you the information you need to talk to other people. Marlon, thanks for those kind comments. When I come back on the Savage Nation, we're going to talk about all of the other news of the day, and we have breaking news for you. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. The Savage Nation is pretty shocking because it's the State Department throwing Hillary Clinton under the bus. Her own advisors today said we didn't want to hold back any of these emails that they're saying they're holding back today. And yet here is her own State Department turning against her. And I told you what's going on. Let's listen to John Kirby, spokesmouth for the U.S. State Department.
As part of this monthly FOIA production of former Secretary Clinton's emails, the State Department will be denying in full 7 email chains found in 22 documents representing 37 pages. The documents are being upgraded at the request of the intelligence community because they contain a category of top secret information.
Do you realize what the significance of this, folks? I know you're saying, well, what is it, Mike? No, don't ask me a question. It's very complicated. Some of the Clinton emails are so top secret that they cannot be released. We heard that already earlier this week. But this is something new. Her own campaign, as I just said, said, no, 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 we want them released because we can defend us having transmitted them. And here is her own spokesman from before she was really a serious candidate saying, oh, we can't release them. They're too damaging. U.S. declares 22 Clinton emails top secret. Could you believe this? What's going on in front of your eyes 3 days before Clinton competes in the Iowa presidential caucuses? What it indicates to me is that they're throwing her under the bus. I personally don't know how she gets the strength to handle this. To be frank, it's like I almost admire her fortitude. I would never, you know, I don't like her politics, but how can this woman at her age, with what she's putting up with, even if she's being exposed, how could she not run away and say, I quit, I resign? How can she take this? If she keeps this up, she's liable to be indicted. See, she's always gotten away with what she's gotten away with because she has the protexia she needs at all levels of government. But it seems to me this protection has just been lifted. Somebody above her has decided to designate what she released as above top secret. And now, as we close the show with White Rabbit, it's time for me to do my Friday afternoon Bible reading. It's called A Still Small Voice, because many of you don't know where it comes from. It comes from the Old Testament, 1 Kings.